Welcome to episode number 312 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to talk a little bit about religion, politics, and kids. That's right, we had a listener question today that asked, what is the appropriate age for kids to be able to be making their own decisions about religion and political views? Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is June the 18th, 2014, middle of the week Wednesday. Our topic for today is going to be religion, politics, and kids. That's right. Again, this comes at a question from Michelle, who asked, at what age are children capable of making their own decisions about religion and political views? There's actually a fun story behind this. Today I was torn between two different topics that I've had in my topic queue for quite a while. And I sat down with him and I went back and forth and forth and back and back and forth. And man, I just couldn't make my mind up on them. They're both good topics. They've got good stuff. I think you guys are going to enjoy them. But finally, I couldn't make my mind up. And a lot of times when that happens, it's because I need to sit back and I need to mix it up and do something different. So we threw out a post request on Facebook to say, hey, what do you guys want to hear about? And so we got several different items back, several from some listeners, also a few from Jeff. That's right, Real Family Guys Podcast. He actually gave some really good ones that I think I'm going to steal. So we can't have those for Real Family Guys Podcast, Jeff. They're going in the archives for FPN because you gave them to me. You said them out loud. Before we get into that, guys, let's get into some quick housekeeping. If you guys want to get notified of any new episodes that come out on the Family Podcast, simply is a way to do that. Go to thefamilypodcast.com, right-hand side, name and email address in that bar. You will get signed up for our special little letter that goes out or email that goes out three times a week that says, hey, here's what Trey podcasted about. Here's what's going on. Stay tuned for that and make sure that you never miss out on that one show. If you just would have heard, it could have changed everything. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. That's right. Go over there and like us. Another thing you need to do is, once you like us on Facebook, if you like me on Facebook and you haven't done the second step, you need to do the second step. You need to make sure you go over there and click on the following tab where it'll say following. Click on it and then click on get notifications. If you do not put it on get notifications, you will not see most of my posts. So make sure you click on that. You can even add me to the interest lists, and just makes you that much more likely to be able to see what's going across here, because Facebook has been limiting those things. Guys, want to support the show at 30 cents per episode? Simple, easy way to do that. Go to thehumanpodcast.com. Click on Become a Member. Whenever you become a member, you do get access to exclusive content available only to you guys. What do you get? Number one, access to trade anytime. When I get a, you're able to go onto the PTACR page, and whenever you submit a question or something like that, you're going to get prioritized. You're going to go straight to the top of my email address. Even if there were 10 other messages before you, you'll go straight to my email and you'll get a response the fastest that you're going to get. There's also exclusive deals for you guys that have been available from several of the folks who have been in the on the show as special guests. And as a matter of fact, Demetria Clark just added hers that we're going to be putting into the FPN membership page here pretty soon. So if you're wanting to get in some classes on herbalism, she's going to cut some big discounts all the way up to $100 off a course. So you definitely want to go check that out, become a member, especially if you're getting three dimes for every one of these episodes. You're like, man, let's just do a little something back to Trey just to say thank you for the work he does. That's the way to do it, guys. Questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, simply is the way to do that. TheFamilyPodcast.com. You can email us at TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. You can also click on TheFamilyPodcast.com and see in the right-hand side where it says Ask Trey and Jeff a Question. Click that, and as long as you've got a microphone on your computer, your phone, whatever else, you can leave yourself a message. You can also get an app on your phone, your Android, and your iPhone device. And sorry about that, guys. I'm also sipping some green tea here. And you can also ask those questions that way. You can also call us at 661-PARENT-0. Again, that number is 661-PARENT and the number 0. All right, guys. With all of that out of the way today, let's jump into our topic of religion, politics, and kids. That's right. It's the thing that we rarely ever think about. It's the conversation that we rarely ever have. It is that one thing that we don't stop to ask ourselves. When should we talk about religion and politics with our kids? Now, I know many of the folks out here in the show are religious. Now, you know, I'm going to tip my hand. I am a believer in the God of the Christian Bible. Yahweh, as some like to call him. But just for the record, no, I'm not Jewish. That was just one of the initial pronunciations of his name. And so we are a believer in that. Now, first off, to some of you guys that may be kind of reeling back, no, you do not need to be a believer in God or Bibles or religions or Allah or who or whatever else. You can be an atheist and come to this show, and you're going to be at home here. We do not push, we do not press, we do not do any of that kind of stuff here. Not only that, I can even respect you. I want you to understand that. I can even respect people that don't believe the way I do. And it's a very simple thing. It's a very big thing that we push here. So with all of that said, we are a believer in that God of the Christian Bible, and so we teach our kids some things about it. However, my answer may surprise a few of you guys. I do not believe in pushing God and pushing Jesus or whatever else on our kids at young ages. And it's funny that Michelle, the listener who brought this up, actually mentioned this. Because our daughter recently, I am such a buzzkill, and some of you guys out there may actually go to this church, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to be offensive. I really don't. Honest to God, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but I go to pick Anna up from Vacation Bible School here in our hometown, and all these teachers run up to me, and have you heard the news? Have you heard the trade? Have you heard the news? The pastor came and got me and says, your daughter was in my office today. And I'm like, what did she do? And then we went through all these different things, and I was like, oh my goodness. And finally they spilled it to me. They said, Trey, Anna has accepted Christ into her heart. And I know for a very distinct fact that I did not give them the reaction they were hoping for. I grinned and I said, oh, okay, good. And I mean, I tried to blow this off, but and try to appease them in some way. I could tell that I lacklustered and did not give them a wonderful reaction they were looking for. But here's why. My daughter is about to be, she just turned 8 years old. We just celebrated her birthday on the 16th yesterday. She just turned 8 years old. And she has accepted, quote unquote, for those of you guys who may be unfamiliar with the Christian religion, there's the belief system that Christ came, died for our sins, and all that stuff. And you have to accept that if we can just learn to follow the techniques and the things that he follows and love him, all that other stuff, that we accept him and what he asks us to do into our heart, and we kind of like submit ourselves to him. It's kind of the mentality. And so she has accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior, as is very popular in the religion that I attend. She has done that for the last 3.5 years. So there's that point that after the second time, I began to figure something out here. Actually, I say that at the very first time that I had a parent run up to me, oh my God, Dre, she accepted Christ into her heart today. Then I was just like, oh, okay. I want to be very clear. This desire for my daughter to follow the principles of the Christian Bible is tantamount to me. It is vital. It is important. Because I think it offers, even if you don't even believe in all the supernatural crap that's in the Bible, which I do, but let's say you don't, the concepts behind it are excellent, I think. And so with that said, they run up to me, oh, Trey, even that very first time when it happened 3 years ago, I just went, oh, okay. And I sat down and I talked to my daughter about it, and she gave the pretty typical answer. He goes, well, Dad, they told me if I didn't, I was going to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. Don't get me wrong, neither do I. Nor do I want my kids to go to hell either. But creating an emphasis of fear is not the right way. I'm not saying that can't be good motivation or whatever you want to call it. It's not for me. It's not how I want to do things. But that is not the right mentality, I don't think. Year two, it happened again. And now here we are at year three. And she's done it all over again. So maybe I'm a bit of a cynic walking into this conversation and this topic today, because I'm a little cynical because I've seen this be pushed on such young children and it be such a failure And it'd be such a non-authentic understanding of what we're talking about when we talk about religion that I have a major problem of selling this to kids. In all honesty, I genuinely believe. Now, hang tight with me. I'm gonna offend some people, I think. And I'm not trying to. But I really think that trying to sell kids on religion at a young age is wrong. Now, hang tight with me here. That doesn't mean that I don't believe that kids need to be learning these tenets, the tenets of whatever it is we believe on a spiritual or religious level. And so today, we're going to talk a little bit more about when is it okay to talk to our kids about religion, and is there something that we can do based off of what Trey believes? Is there something we can do in the interim? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. Now, I'm not going to spend nearly as much time on politics today. I do think that there is a time where we can sit down and talk politics. There's no doubt that things that are actively involved in a political realm affect our kids. And I think kids pick up on those things way more than we think they do, especially junior high and high schoolers. I think that they are much more affected by these things, and I think they know it. However, I'm going to leave politics alone. Now, why am I going to leave politics alone? Here's two reasons for that. Number one, I really think that most of what we're going to talk today about religion, we can extrapolate and carry over into politics. So you can take the basic mentalities of what we're going to talk today about religion, and you can copy those over to politics. Number two, I don't believe, let me rephrase that, I reject modern politics. I find modern politics to be nothing but angry. I find modern politics to be nothing but a traditional case of collusion. I find modern politics to be nothing but, what's the word I'm looking for, division. It is all about dividing people up. I am a bit of a conspiracy theorist, and I am also going to go far one more step. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys, the CT in me is just always pretty powerful. But I actually believe that we are desired to stay in politics, to have this right and this left that fight against each other, that hate each other's guts and see each other as the enemy. Because as long as we're bickering with ourselves, we're not fighting with the people that are continuously eroding constitutional freedoms one after the other after the other. So I grew up as a very Republican family. I have no love for the Democratic Party. However, I have no love for the Republican Party either. Even though I agree with more things that they believe in, I still reject it because it's still about taking away most people's freedoms and right to believe however they want to believe. So I do not accept modern traditional politics in and of themselves because I don't think they do any good. I don't think they were designed to do any good. And as a matter of fact, I think they were designed to keep us from going anywhere. So with all of that said, let's start off talking with this idea and this concept of religion. When should you talk to your kids about religion? I do not believe you should do it at the young age. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you hold your tongue back or that when you talk about God or when you pray that you should hide those things from them. I think you should be very active in that. If they ask you questions, I think you should always answer those questions in plain and literal language as you can. I don't think that you should keep it secret from them. I think that you should be allowing them to check in with what does mommy and daddy believe. So I do believe that it's fine to let your kids see it. However, I do not agree with walking through and trying to, what's the word I'm looking for here, sell them on it at a young age. I really don't. We pray with our kids every night. We have a very, very distinct, very a prayer that we do every single night. I sit down with my kids and we say, Dear Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you for today. Thank you for my wonderful kids. God, I pray that you will give them sweet dreams today, dreams that make them laugh, dreams that make them smile, and dreams that make them think. And I pray that they sleep well and wake up refreshed and ready in the morning. And then, God, I also pray that you will impart the blessing of their Father unto them so that everything that they set their hands to will prosper. Amen. That's a prayer that we pray every single night. Why do I do that? If I just said that I don't believe in teaching my kids about these concepts behind, these abstract concepts behind religion at a young age, why do I do that? Because I have no problems with kids learning vernacular. It's the same reason why do I teach parents to talk to their kids like normal human beings when they're little tiny babies? Number one, it's engaging. It stimulates babies' brains. But go ahead and fill them with the concepts behind it. Go ahead and fill them with the vernaculars that are involved. But what do I say we should do with kids when they're young? Instead of focusing so much on God, these abstract concepts of God and Jesus Christ and all those things, there will come a time for that, that I think it's wonderful to talk about those things, necessary. But instead, when they're young, just take the time to fill them with the concepts, the morals behind the beliefs. What's a moral? A moral is a fundamental belief about what is right and what is wrong. That's the one reason why I encourage even folks that aren't necessarily religious, even atheists and agnostics, to at least crack the Bible open and teach it to your kids, because the moral concepts that are contained within are very good. And yes, I've heard the arguments, oh, Trey, the Bible's inconsistent because the Old Testament, he's mean and he's angry and he kills everybody. And you've got the New Testament where he's, you know, all this love and sunshine, and they don't add up. They really do. I don't have time to go into a philosophical or a theological debate with you today. They really do add up, especially if you take a look at what was going on in the Old Testament. It makes perfect sense to me. But I did used to have that same issue. I had the same issue with the Bible as well. But I do believe that we can teach the concepts in here. The idea of kindness. It's a huge one in our family, is that we teach kindness. Why do we teach kindness so much? So you can substitute this phrase through the entire show today. Why do I think the Bible pushes kindness for what I'm going to say today? I do believe that the Bible is what I think the theologians in their big fancy words say, it is the inspired word of God, whatever, blah, blah. What they're saying is that they believe that God was the author behind the Bible. I do think in translations we've screwed it up some over the years because we've tried to translate it out of what it originally meant. And historians and theologians have kind of screwed that up. King James Version's one of the... I'm sorry if you read the King James Version, guys. King James had a lot to say in that. When he had them rewritten, he actually made revisions himself. So I don't trust the King James Version. It's not necessarily a bad one, but you got to walk into that understanding that he made serious changes in there. And so we believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. And so all of the concepts that we pull out of there, we believe are taught to us because it was how God created us to live. It's like user's manual, right? Is that he's going to show us the life that he intended for us to do. For the same reason that, you know, you get your brand new car and you take a look at your car and you read through your manual and nowhere on there does it say it's okay for you to go run it in the mud. It tells you to keep it on the highway and stuff like that. It's why you don't go take your tiny little, you know, Prius out for a mudding trip. For those of you guys who maybe aren't from the country, when you go mudding is when you find the muddiest, wettest roads after a rainstorm that you can find, and you go drive through it, and you try to get stuck and unstuck and all that other stuff. Have a fun time. You should do it as a kid. I loved it. And so you won't take a Prius to go mudding, right? And so that's the mentality that we have, is that the concepts in here are vital. So what we say is, for the same reason that we talked about before, is I encourage most families, don't push religion at the earliest. Most families are so hell-bent on teaching their kids about religion because there's that mentality of, oh my gosh, I got to teach them if they don't know, what if they die, etc. This is moving into stuff that I can't talk to you about. I can't talk to you about what you believe. I know there's some denominations out there that believe that if you die before you've accepted Christ, there's some of them out there that especially there are some denominations and some sects of that S-E-C-T-S, guys. Don't take that inappropriately. But there are some sects of the denominations that believe that if you accept him and you're on your way to get baptized and you die before you can get baptized, that you still aren't necessarily going to get into heaven because you didn't actually go through the baptism, right? People kind of freak out here because their mentality is, if I don't get my kid to say those words and quote unquote accept Christ or whatever your belief system is, if I don't get them to do that as fast as possible, then their soul will be lost in hell forever, whatever goes through their head. Now, I can't tell you what to believe on this. We have a very specific belief system here in our house. I'm not even going to share it. Why am I not going to share it? Because I want you to go diligently seek the scriptures and try to understand it yourself. So I can't feel you in that. But that's not a concern that we have in our household. We also, in our household, believe that kids cannot rationally understand these very abstract concepts until much later in life. Maslow, a psychologist that's one of my favorites, has a hierarchy of needs, and he talks about the different levels of needs that we have to get met, and it starts all the way down at the basis level, like physical, and you move your way up, and the very highest one is self-actualization. And that's that point where you get to where you can recognize that, you can begin to understand abstract concepts and things that move outside of the most tangible in your life. And so we kind of believe that as well, is that that's also a growth process, is that when babies first come out, there's only a few things they care about. Poop, pee-pee, food, right? That's what they care the most, and sleep. You might could argue sleep. But everything that they're concerned about is very survival-minded. And so one of the parts about growing up is that we begin to meet not only our physical needs, those survival needs, but we begin to meet our emotional and cognitive and even spiritual. And I'm defining spiritual here, not even necessarily in the religious sense. Again, I'm going to let you go look that definition up if you ever want to look up spirituality, but you know, we have those needs that need to be met. And so to really teach kids religion, you have to give them time, and you have to give them that ability to grow. But again, like we said before, that doesn't mean that you have to be undiligent in what you talk to them and explain to them. So one of the things that we recommend you do is begin to teaching your kids your morals. So we talked a little bit about kindness. Another one that we have is we teach our kids to be thoughtful, to think about other people, to focus more on just themselves, to notice the needs that are around them, that are vital, that are important, that aren't getting met, to be concerned about the objectives of the people that are in our lives. We also believe that that is a fundamental moral of the Bible. We also believe in helpfulness, that even though we may be thoughtful and mindful or thoughtful and kind, you know, towards people, but the reality is that sometimes we need helpfulness, which that's the action piece of it. So if you're thoughtful and you notice that so-and-so is having a hard time picking something up that they dropped on the floor because their hands are full, the thoughtfulness says, oh, man, maybe I should help them. The helpful part says, get down on your hands and knees and help them. So we teach our kids that thoughtfulness alone is not enough. It's not good enough to think, oh, it would be awful nice if somebody did that for them. Oh, it would be awful good idea if I did that. But we do nothing. Sound like a scripture you may know? Faith without works, right? It all works together. Number four, treat others the way you want to be treated. That is a major axiom. That is an axiom, something we do not waver or deviate from in this household. You treat other people the way you want to be treated. Some people call that the golden rule. We also refer to it as the silver rule, which maybe it's not the silver rule that we call that. But we refer it to the flip side to that. So we say treat others the way you want to be treated, or we flip it around and say don't treat others the way you wouldn't want to be treated. So see, what happens is often if you approach things in the mentality of we treat others the way we want to be treated, you set a goal. But maybe you treat yourself like crap. So then you say to yourself, well, as long as I treat myself that way. That's what I would do with myself. So flip it around. Sometimes I recommend that you use it under the low goal here. Don't treat other people in a way that you would never want to be treated. And teach that to kids. What do you mean, Dad? I don't understand. Treat others the way you want to be treated. What do you mean? Would you like it if I walked up to you and I slugged you in the arm? If I yanked on your hair? Well, no. Well, why not? Because it hurts. That's right. And if you would never, ever want somebody to do that to you, don't ever do it to your brother. Don't ever do it to your sister. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Another big one for us, and this is another one of those axioms in our households. Work hard, you play hard. It's a big one. We love teaching that one to our kids. I tell you, I had something happen this week. We had a young man. Oh, man, I'm going to struggle to get through this story. We had a young man come up to us who was a friend, an old friend of my wife, Corey, and I. And we were talking to him, and he's working probably about 10 hours a week. He's going to school and working on a degree right now. And as we were talking to him, he was telling us about how he's 21, mind you, 10 hours a week of work and no kids. And he was like, yeah, I've really been thinking about going on food stamps. Is I think I can get about $400 or $500 worth of food stamps. Now, I want to be clear here. I'm gonna be very transparent with you guys. We've been on food stamps before as a family, and so we are not walking into this in some kind of hearty, well, you've never blah blah blah. We've been on it, guys, and we got ourselves off so goddamn fast once we started realizing the allure of it. So I'm not coming into this with any kind of misconception or hurtful or angry heart. I'm coming into this as a guy, I get it. But this infuriated me But you see, this is the whole concept that we're talking about. It is the entire thing that we are trying to defeat in our family is that if you want to play hard, if you want nice things, if you want to go out and have a nice iPhone with data packages and all that other stuff, you have got to work hard. And don't just expect to sit with your hand out and something to come your way. You go and work hard. You got a problem, you go work hard, you fix it. So we teach this one. We teach these morals. And if you give me enough time, again, I'm not going to go over this today because I know there's some out there that just don't care about where it comes from in the Bible. But I can trace every single one of these back to not just one scripture, but sometimes 3 to 10. So I think that is where we have to start with our kids when they're young, is we start by teaching them the natural things of all this. We teach them about kindness, thoughtfulness, helpfulness, treating others the way we want to be treated, about working hard and playing hard, and there's dozens more that we could do in just a show. We're not going to. But there's just dozens and dozens more that we can go over that we can teach our kids, and we teach them these concepts at a young age. And I do believe that one of the natural parts of the maturation of this is that one day as they grow up, they will begin to be drawn to things that they're familiar with. And if they're familiar with kindness, thoughtfulness, helpfulness, treating others, working hard, etc., one of these days, more than likely, they're going to hear about whatever religion it is that we believe in, and they're going to connect with those things. What do I not agree with? I have a hard time that our vacation Bible school is trying to sell these kids on this stuff. My guess is it's probably emotional contagion. They're creating an exciting environment. They're talking about hell and the wonderful heaven and all that other stuff. And they start throwing out the altar call is what they call it in this particular denomination that I'm talking about. They throw out this altar call and people start going up there and then more people come. And it's this whole experience emotionally is contagious and it spreads. You know what would interest me? Somebody who was drawn to a religion on their own. Free study, free thinking. And they were drawn to something. Not a belief, not an ideology, not a pastor. Just bold, flat out study, research, and understanding. That would impress me. But I want to reiterate again. I'm not saying that you hide or conceal your faith from your kids. I'm not saying that you don't ever let them, you know, hear you say what you believe. Just the other day, we were sitting out there, and y'all might have seen the post on Facebook, but I was talking about just sitting out on the front porch. We finally moved much further out of town. We're much further in the country now. And I was sitting out on my front porch, and Anna has been talking to me for the last 4 or 5 weeks, literally 4 or 5 weeks, about the very first fireflies coming to our area. And she said, "Dad, they always come in June, and I'm so ready. I'm so excited." And she told me, she's like, "Dad, you got to come get me out of bed when they first get here." So I told her, yeah, I said, "We will." And the other night we were sitting on that porch, and man, I looked out in my garden, and man, let me tell you, they were just loving my garden. They were flying around, blinking. There was just hundreds of them blinking around out there. So I lit into that room, just had a jog, and flew into that little girl's room. I said, "Come on, Anna, come on." She jumped out of bed, and we ran out there, and she played around out there, and we were talking about it, and you know, we were just looking at it. She had caught one of the fireflies, was holding her hand. And I made a comment. I said, "You know, I think it's neat the way God created these little critters." Now, am I trying to push or force? No, not at all. You see, I walk into this acknowledging that my daughter may grow up to be an atheist or an agnostic. She may grow up to be Muslim, for all I know, or Hindu. I don't know. It's her choice. What is my role as a parent? My parent role is to know what I believe. And the single-handed most important part is I have to know why I believe it. You see, I think Christians especially BS their way through their belief systems. And when they do it, they tag it under this false, I'm going to call it a false flag of faith. Guys, I believe in faith. Yes, I believe that we should believe in some things that we cannot see. I do believe that we should believe in solutions to problems that our deity, and in my case, that my God is going before me and working on. and that even though I don't see a solution, it's going to happen. Let me tell you, I saw that crap happen with just moving to this house. Things came together that should never have come together, not in the perfect way that they did. See, that for me is proof. But I get it. In the most strictest of scientific definition, that's not proof at all. That's strong evidence that supports, but that's not proof, and I get that. But for me, that's good enough, and that may not be enough for you. But I have to know what I believe. I have to know why I believe it, and I have to be able to explain it rationally to a kid. And I'm sorry, because I have faith is not the best answer. Again, you tell me, I'm going to piss some people off, because you're going to hear me saying that I don't believe in faith, and I do. But whenever you're pushing to concrete kids who think so concretely, we'll put it that way, a totally abstract comment based solely off of the fact that I should just accept it even though there's no way for me to believe it, I don't think it's the best way to do it. That is so abstract, and it's just not time for them. So I have to walk into it and know what I believe, why I believe it. Cite reference to why I believe the things that I do. And be ready to acknowledge the fact that my kid may not follow suit. And that's okay. It has to be. For us to be genuinely sovereign beings, beings that are allowed to make choices for themselves. Mind you, that choice can be to serve God, right? But to be that person that can accept that kind of freedom, we have to be ready to acknowledge that our kids may not adopt what we believe. And I'm telling you, if you really walk what you believe, if you understand what you believe, and you follow through with it, I believe if you follow the tenets of Christian Bible, and you love people, you love your kids authentically and deeply and genuinely, they're going to want to follow that. They're going to want to be that themselves. So you may be like, well, Trey, great, man, but you're not answering the freaking question. At what age should you do this? So here's the age question. My problem with age questions, and I tell you, as a psychologist, you get this all the time. At what age should my kid be walking? At what age should my kid be, eating on their own? At what age should they stop digging around in their diaper? And I get this all the time. And it's such a hard question to answer. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of people out there that have developed some great, child developmental levels. But even in most cases, if they're talking about, when is the appropriate time to do blah, they'll say anywhere from 9 to 10, or from 8 to 11. I mean, the reality is we don't know the answer to that. But I will say this: you as parents are the best ones to be able to fully understand that. When do I think that you should introduce religion? Much later in their lives. Again, I'm not saying that you hide it from them. If they're ready for it, they will come ask. It's a lot like the question that people ask me, Trey, when should you talk to your kid about sex? Here's what you do. This is the same exact model that I used for sex. If you've heard the sex talk one on here, you want to go listen to it. It's a great episode. But I take the same approach. Number one, you start by filling them in with the vernacular. You should say things like penis, vagina, and all that other good stuff. Breasts. Clitoris, you should be saying those things to your kids. You acclimate them to the vernacular, right? Similar to acclimating them to the moral belief systems, right? Then you start letting them ask questions. Now, that only works if you have a good relationship with them. They need to feel comfortable coming to ask you stuff and not feel like you're going to call them a stupid, or you're going to call them an idiot, or you're going to make fun of them, or you're going to be passive aggressive, or you're going to be snarky, or a troll, whatever. You got to have a good relationship with your kids so that they emphatically trust you and trust talking to you about these situations. But if you can establish that relationship of trust with your kids, they'll come to you. They'll ask. Say those phrases in front of them. Man, I think it's amazing how God made this. And one day, eventually, the question will come. Who is God? What does He do? How does He make things? But the reality that is, they need to come to you. They need to feel comfortable asking you. That doesn't mean that you can't throw in a, hey, you want to talk about that? Just let me know. I know I say things like God or Jesus or whatever else, Allah, whoever. I know I say questions about them. I say things about them a lot. If you ever want to know anything, just feel free to ask at any time. And let them come to you. If I had to smack an age on it, I would say anywhere from 11 to 13. But guys, I've seen 8 and 9-year-olds that I think were ready. And I've seen 17-year-olds that were nowhere near close to being ready. The only real person that's going to be able to answer the age question is you. And even you can't necessarily do it with a high level of accuracy. You just have to guess. But you know your kid way better than Trey ever will. When's it right? The bottom line to all of this is, it needs to come at an age when they can think for themselves. It needs to come at an age that if you present them the way you believe it and the way the Hindus believe it, they need to be able to make a decision independent of what yours is. You see, kids love to please. They love to make us happy. They love to do things that make us happy. They like to do things that they receive praise for. And this is a very, very difficult one, especially when we feel like their eternal soul is connected to this decision. It is very difficult for us to, you know, remove ourselves from our influence on this decision. Could you be okay if your kid was a homosexual atheist? See, that I'm bringing that up not because it bothers me. I'm bringing that up because in the denomination that I've often been affiliated with, this would be just an absolute apostasy if you were to utter those words. But could you respect their decision to be that way? Can you respect the fact that these are people that are allowed to make choices for themselves, independent of us and what our choices are? Should we hope? Yes, always. Should we teach? Yes, always. But you see, a kid is not really choosing your religion if they're doing it because they're afraid of not. If they're afraid of rejection from you, and you can tie this right into the political part of it as well. If they are afraid of rejection from you because they decide they want to vote Democrat, or because they decide they want to vote Republican, which is opposite of you. If they have a fear of that, they are not choosing what they believe in. They're choosing what will make you happy. You see, I don't want my kids to do that. I don't want my kids to choose religion as a de facto. This is what I must do. I want them choosing it because they believe it. I want them choosing it because they understand it. I want them choosing it because they've tested. They've put these concepts to the test, and they've received fruit, which is a metaphoric thing in the denomination I attend. That's whenever you get something back from what you do, right? They get fruit out of these things. Heck, maybe they've seen some miracles now. That is why I want my kids to believe. And it is why I will never push what I believe on them. It is why I will push them to think, to criticize, and tear down anything that won't stand. Because here's my belief system. If it won't stand, then it's probably not from God. But I do it all under the premise and all under the standing that they may never believe the way I believe. And that's okay, because they cannot authentically choose God if they're doing it because they're afraid of me. See, politics are no different. See, the reason why I'm not going to spend much time on that is I've told you guys, I don't believe in right versus left. I know it exists. I know it's out there. That's not a blind eye. But I think the topics that they create are asinine. See, I was related to the Republican Party all my life, but I've rejected it now. Why is that? Because some of the worst atrocities that have happened to our constitutionality in America have come at the hands of George W. Bush. A staunch Republican. No Child Left Behind. The Patriot Act. Atrocities that never should have occurred happened under his rule. the removing of freedoms. Even if they're freedoms that I like, the things that he takes away, it benefits me. It is still removing the individual's right to choose. So we cannot, I encourage you, do not push your kid. Know what you believe, why you believe it. Why do you believe in the Republican Party? Understand it. And let your kid formulate their thoughts. A lot of research shows, I read some articles on this before I started recording today. There's a lot of kids that really are interested in political stuff. They're way more interested in political stuff than I ever imagined. Healthcare, etc. So I don't think there's anything wrong with talking to our kids about these things. But make sure, present them all the options. What are the other religions out there? Instead of operating in a spirit of fear about them finding out about these things, expose them to it. Here's what you'll promise. I was terrified to study other religions. And I remember that I finally cracked open a book that explained every single, you know, the most basic sense. It explained, you know, explained everything from Christianity to Muslim to, you know, Buddhism. And, you know, I don't know why I was so afraid of it. But I tell you, I never strengthened my position as a believer in the Christian Bible more than when I sat down and read about this was a very unbiased, written by an agnostic, I believe. And it was very benign. It was very well written. And I've never strengthened my belief systems in what I believe more than having read the Quran, for instance. So know what you believe. Know why you believe it. Teach the principles separate from the finer points when they're young. And when they begin to ask questions, answer the abstract. Build a good relationship with your kids so that they feel comfortable asking the abstract questions. And let them choose for themselves and be ready to accept that they may not do what you do. And that the only way they can experience real understanding is to have that freedom. Well, all right, guys, that wraps up this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Don't forget to come join us this Friday for our next episode of the Real Family Guys Podcast, where Jeff and I will sit down. We'll go round for round your questions, your comments, your call-ins. We want to hear from you guys. Don't forget to call in with any questions that you guys might have, either for the Family Podcast Network or the Real Family Guys Podcast, 661-PARENT-0. Again, that number is 661-PARENT-0. And the number 0. You guys have a great day. We'll see you on Friday.